You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The forecast is that El Nino is making a comeback this winter, and that can conjure up memories of powerful winter weather in California, and for good reason. The winters of 2015, 2016, 97, 98 are among the strongest El Ninos on record, with devastating consequences. But predicting the strength of this climate pattern is actually more complicated and uncertain than looking to the past. According to NOAA, El Nino actually dates back to the 1600s, when South American fishermen noticed periods of unusually warm water in the Pacific Ocean. They named the phenomenon El Niño de Navidad, the little boy of Christmas, because it typically peaked around December. Some 400 years later, though, there's still a great deal that we don't know. While some climate models are predicting a super El Niño this winter, others aren't as certain. And even if it is a strong El Nino, it doesn't mean we're going to feel that impact in Northern California. Paul Ulrich is a professor of regional and global climate modeling at UC Davis and joins us with how big of a role El Nino plays in wintertime precipitation in California. Good morning, Professor Ulrich.
Good morning.
So for those who need a refresher, how often does El Nino or California experience El Nino?
So the El Nino cycle is somewhat variable, but in general, we expect El Ninos to pop up basically every 7 to 10 years or so.
Got it. What are the conditions that lead to an El Nino event?
So El Ninos are associated with anomalously warm temperatures in the equatorial Pacific region. And so under typical conditions, we have relatively modest temperatures in this region, with warmer temperatures more in the Western Pacific. But the El Nino is associated with basically this shift in temperatures towards the east. And it basically comes about because of a complicated interaction between the atmosphere and ocean states.
In the recent weeks, I would say the last month or two, I mean, there have been some climate models that are forecasting El Nino for this winter. NOAA's predicting or favoring a strong event from November through January. The National Center for Atmospheric Research is predicting a super El Nino this winter that rivals 97 and 98. But when you see these models and these forecasts, what do you keep in mind?
So the way that NOAA does it is we rely on basically a large spread in a large selection of different models effectively in order to run these simulations in order to try to predict the future. There's all sorts of differences in terms of the way that these models are built and the way that they incorporate the physics of the real world that causes basically a spread in their projections. So inevitably, you'll have some projections that are higher than normal and higher than what we observe and some that are going to be lower than what we observe. What we generally look to is kind of the middle of that pack, and in order to basically get our best projection of where things are headed. Well, we have some models, of course, that have that are predicting kind of this extreme or super strong El Nino event. There's also others that are predicting a relatively modest event. And while we can be anywhere in the spread, there's always some probability associated with some of the most extreme conditions or some of the weaker conditions. In general, we're anticipating this to be basically a relatively modest to strong El Nino.
How quickly can predictions and forecasts change? I mean, did they change from September to October?
We've seen this coming for a little while now. We're basically coming off of a period of relatively persistent La Niña conditions, where you have cooler temperatures in the equatorial Eastern Pacific. And as a consequence, it generally based on the timing of El Niño and its relative periodicity, that is its reliability, we can anticipate that this season was basically primed for the emergence of El Niño conditions. However, as we get closer and closer towards the winter season, that allows us to get a better gauge on how strong the particular El Niño event will be.
Yeah, since we're coming off of an already powerful and destructive winter season with a series of atmospheric rivers at the beginning of the year, you know, was last winter, was that connected to a pattern like El Niño or La Niña?
Interestingly, the last winter was relatively neutral conditions. That's basically a state in between La Niña and El Niño. So the equatorial Pacific didn't play a huge role. When it comes to California, our precipitation that we receive every season is highly variable. There's a lot of uncertainty associated with how much we receive, and a lot of it is basically probability, roll of the dice to see how much rain we receive.
The most recent strongest El Niños on record, I believe, was 2015-2016. It wasn't that long ago. What were the conditions that led to that strength?
So that was again the basically an a relatively strong El Nino that emerged after several years of La Nina conditions. And sometimes you just get basically this perfect concordance between the atmosphere and ocean that allows these very strong El Ninos to develop.
Given that when we think of El Nino, we connect it to California, but is it that widespread of an event, or does it impact some parts of the state more than others?
Well, it's certainly widespread in the sense that it has global consequences associated with it. California is not the only part of the U.S. that actually experiences oscillations in its weather because of an El Niño or La Niña state. Actually, much of the southern U.S., particularly from Texas to Florida, they experience increase in wetness as well during these El Niño conditions. Also, because of increases in wind shear that typically occur during El Niño, we see a reduction in the typical number of tropical cyclones that we see coming to that area. So El Niño in California, though, does tend to have a stronger connection to the southern part of the state. That is, we can see more deviation from kind of our average amounts of precipitation per year in Southern California when we have an El Niño event than in Northern California.
So given that last winter, wasn't connected to an El Niño or La Niña event, it was actually like pretty stable in terms of the forecast and the modeling. Was last winter a surprise, seeing these atmospheric rivers come through our area?
I would say it was both a surprise and not a surprise. In some sense, it was a surprise because actually, back in September of 2022, I guess, NOAA had actually predicted that last winter would be relatively dry. And I got myself into a little bit of trouble because actually the Farmer's Almanac at that time had also said it that was that that winter would be relatively wet. However, I don't think that that's necessarily a reflection on the our ability to forecast the amount of precipitation associated with these events, but instead it just speaks to the fact that there's a lot of variability. When it comes to an El Nino, the actual shift in total precipitation that we're expecting over this coming year is on the order of 2 to 3 inches of additional precipitation. And just to contrast that with how much California normally gets, we're usually in like the range of 30 to 70 inches of precipitation. So a 2 to 3 inch shift towards wetter conditions isn't really that big of a shift overall.
What I'm learning is that even though over the decades and in centuries, modeling and technology has improved, there's still just a lot of anomalies out there that do create some unpredictability when it comes to forecasting, what we're talking about in this case, El Niño, and the severity of it.
Yeah, the global weather system is inherently chaotic. There are limitations to how far in the future we can predict weather, basically, as a consequence of the inherent chaos that exists within the atmosphere. And that limits many of our forecasts to being essentially no better than guesswork after about 2 weeks. With that said, we can still latch on to these persistent oceanic conditions and see how they do manifest in terms of shifts in total precipitation amount. So El Niño conditions does lead to an increase in the probability of wetter conditions, but it's in no means a guarantee of having wetter conditions.
What role does a warming climate play in El Niño winters?
In terms of the warming climate, there's been a lot of research in terms of the climate influence on El Niño, and there's still not really a solid scientific consensus on whether or not climate change itself is enhancing the frequency or the intensity of El Niño against the background. That being said, we are seeing warming oceanic temperatures. We're seeing a warming atmosphere, which means that the atmosphere itself is able to hold more moisture overall. When it holds more moisture, that means that when we have these extreme precipitation events, these extreme rainfall events, and snowfall events from atmospheric rivers, they typically have more precipitation associated with them, more rainfall and more snowfall. So the atmospheric rivers individually are becoming more extreme, but we're not necessarily seeing an increase in the number of them.
Finally, what are you going to be watching for in the climate modeling and forecast in the coming weeks and months?
I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on the NOAA climate forecast. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled on kind of our short-term forecasts as well. You should never neglect these 1 to 2 week outlooks, I suppose, on the weather, just in order to see when it's going to rain. Hopefully, like last year, we don't have every weekend, it felt like, basically being sacrificed to rain. But we'll see how it plays out.
Professor Ulrich, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Paul Ulrich is a professor of regional and global climate modeling at UC Davis and is explaining how big of a role El Nino plays in wintertime precipitation in California. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio.